Away. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 this morning. Book of Romans chapter 1. The theme of the book of Romans is faith. Salvation by faith and living by faith. Therefore, the statement reads there in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Romans chapter 1, please. I'd like to read verse 18 as well. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, and then we will pray. Verse 18 reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we're thankful for the words of that last special. We ask and pray, O God in heaven, that you will lead us. We're thankful that your way is truth. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would lead us into truth this morning as we study your eternal word. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need spiritually. In the name of Christ Jesus, we do ask and pray. Amen. I'd like for you to note verse number 15, please. It reads, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Why was the Apostle Paul keen to preach the gospel in Rome? As it reads, "I am ready to preach." In other words, the Apostle Paul said, as much as it is humanly possible, I am ready and keen to preach the gospel there in Rome. Why was Paul so keen to preach the gospel? What was it that motivated him, that gave him an urgency and a passion to preach the gospel in Rome? Well, I believe the answer is found in verse number 18, down to the end of the chapter. The Apostle Paul understood the wrath of God. The Apostle Paul understood the wrath of God, and he was determined to preach the gospel to those Romans in need of a Saviour. My sermon this morning is titled, God's Wrath or Wrath Against Sin. The wrath of God. In verse number 18, the Bible reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." The Bible teaches us that God's wrath is definite. And that is that God will judge sin. God will judge sin. The wheels of God's judgment move slowly, but they move surely. Mark my words. The wheels of God's judgment move slowly, but they move surely. And the Apostle Paul said, "I am ready to preach the gospel there in Rome." And the Apostle Paul was keen to preach that message because he understood the wrath of God. God's wrath against sin. And may God open up our eyes this morning that we might have also an understanding concerning God's judgment to come upon sin, and may that in turn motivate us to to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, I am ready, I am keen to preach the gospel. The first main point I'd like for us to note this morning is that God's wrath is definite. God's wrath is definite. God will judge sin. And God will judge sin for the following reasons. Note then verse number 18. The Bible reads, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of justice, a God of judgment. Just as much as God loves, God must judge sin. God's wrath is definite. God will judge sin for the following reasons. Note then verse 18, against all ungodliness. Number one, ungodliness is an attack on the person and character of God. For example, the Bible teaches us that God is holy. All unholiness is ungodliness. It attacks the person of God. And God tells us, I will judge ungodliness. But also verse 18 goes on to read, God's wrath is definite. God will not only judge ungodliness, but the Bible also teaches that God will judge unrighteousness. God will judge those that attack and live contrary to the will of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. God will judge the ungodly. God will judge the unrighteous, those that choose to live contrary to the Bible. But also God will judge unbelief. Note there at the end of verse 18, the Bible reads, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That little phrase there, who hold the truth, is an interesting phrase. It literally means to press down or to minimize truth. The essence here is a spirit of unbelief. And God tells us in His Word that He will judge sin. He will judge ungodliness. He will judge unrighteousness, and He will judge unbelief, those that minimize or hold down truth as opposed to obeying and honoring Bible truth. So God's wrath, my friend, is definite. And then from verse number 18, the Apostle Paul goes on and gives us some understanding concerning what God will judge. In essence, God will judge the ungodly. God will judge the unrighteous. God will judge unbelief, those that minimize truth or stop on truth. Those that have no time for truth in unbelief. God will judge. God's wrath is definite. I'd like for us to note in verses 19 and 20, please, that God's wrath is definite and God will judge the above because first and foremost, people deny God. People are denying God. Note then verse 19, please. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Verse 19 is in reference to the knowledge of God within our conscience. That inner voice that teaches us there is a God. Nobody is born an atheist. That's why the Bible reads in Psalm 14:1, the fool have said there is no God. Nobody is born an atheist. People choose to be an atheist. Because my Bible teaches me that all mankind has a knowledge of God within. And I like to ask the atheist, when did you become an atheist? And that is a sensible and logical and biblical question. Because according to the authority of the Bible, everybody has a knowledge of God within. And God's wrath is definite man is choosing to deny God, the voice of God within. But also note then verse number 20, the voice of God without creation. Note verse 20, please. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God's wrath is definite, first and foremost, because man chooses to deny God. Man chooses to deny that voice from within that cries out, there is a supernatural creator. And secondly, that voice without creation. Creation, the beauty of creation around us, gives evidence to the power of God and the presence of God. And therefore, the Bible reads, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God's Word teaches us the voice within, the voice without creation gives man no excuse. No excuse. Nobody will stand before God and say, God, I didn't know about you. I didn't know you existed. Because God will say, you're without excuse. You've had that witness within, and you've had the witness of creation around you. You have chosen to reject the voice from within and the voice from without. God's wrath is definite, my friend, because man chooses to deny God, that inner witness and the outer witness. Man is without excuse. God's reality is known to all of His creatures. There is a God. There is a God. And the Bible teaches us in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven because of ungodliness, unrighteousness, and unbelief, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And it all begins with a denial of God. But I'd like for us to read on, please, and note that a denial of God leads to deterioration. Deterioration, moral deterioration, is the next step when man denies God. There is deterioration. Note then verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. We see within these verses, down to verse 24, the deterioration that will be evident when mankind chooses to deny the presence and the existence of God. And it begins with God being dishonored. And we see that in our day. I don't need to convince you of that. God is dishonored. Consider Christmas and Easter and what Christmas is really all about and what Easter is really all about. Be it we see it all over the world, throughout our society, God being dishonored during these very special times of the year. We have church buildings that were once upon a time places of worship that have been transformed into pubs and hair salons. That dishonors God. We have people getting married today and there is no mention of God within their marriage ceremony. I've even been to funerals and there is no mention of God at a funeral. Dishonorable. And the Bible teaches us that when we deny God, there is a deterioration that takes place, And first and foremost, there is a deterioration in this area of honor, and God is not honored. But also note then, verse 21, a further mark of a denial of God is unthankfulness. Let's say it together. Unthankfulness. Neither were thankful. And we see this all around us. We see this in every level of community. People are quick to say, I have my rights, but how slow we are to say thank you. This is deterioration because of a denial of God. See? But also note then, verse 21, the people become vain in their imaginations. The word vain means to be empty, to have no substance. No substance to the mentality of man. Man's thoughts and man's processing is empty. It's vain. It doesn't have any lasting value. And this is what we see in our day. Vain imaginations. People living and thinking in a world that is not real. For example, wealth equals happiness. That's vain imagination. See? And most of mankind today is driven by that philosophy. Wealth equals happiness. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Wealth can equal headaches. Yes, it can. Vain imaginations. The vain thoughts of, if I can't see it, then I won't believe it. Well, when was the last time you observed your brains? Well, how do you know you've got brains? Never seen your brains? You by faith believe you've got some brains. Who would ever deny that? Who'd ever want to deny that I have no brains? It's ridiculous. We all live by faith to a measure. So we by faith believe we have brains, do we not? But when was the last time you had a good look in to see whether you've really got some brains? Vain imagination, no reasoning. Then it goes on to say in verse 21, and their foolish heart was darkened. When man denies God, you'll find dishonor. You'll find unthankfulness. You'll find vain imaginations. People living according to values that have no real substance. But also, you'll find an obvious darkness over the lives of people whose hearts are darkened. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that what is upon the heart will be evident on a person's countenance. And would you agree with me that within the prevalence of a denial of God in our society, we have many people that have a darkness in their countenance? And we see this within even many in the way that they dress, where they're obsessed with dark clothing, with black, for example. This gothic look is simply an expression of a heart that's dark. See? This is what happens when people deny God. There is darkness in the heart, and that darkness will be evident upon their countenance and upon their presentation. Well, the Bible goes on to teach in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A further deterioration concerning those that deny God will be an emphasis upon knowledge, an emphasis upon being intelligent, to the point where they profess to be wise or they profess to be intelligent, yet they become fools. In other words, they take hold of the theory of evolution
and cry from the rooftop, "This is intelligence." No, it's foolishness. Here's a little experiment for you. Blow up a balloon as much as you can. Tie it. Get a hold of a pin. Pop the balloon. What do you get? Bang. Pop your ordered balloon, what do you get? Disorder. Then try to put that balloon together once again and see how you go. That's evolution. It makes no sense. From disorder comes order. From big bang, disorder comes order and beauty. That's foolishness. That makes no sense. See? And this is what happens when people deny God. They think that they're smart. In other words, we as Bible-believing Christians are looked upon as if we're simpletons because we just believe the Bible. But my friend, you are extremely intelligent when you open your eyes and you admit that there is a Creator, because the voice is all around us in beauty. The beauty of creation gives evidence of that. And one of the further deteriorations that will take place amongst people is that they will have an obsession with knowledge. May I remind you that error hovered around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Yes, it did. Evolution, life from no life, order from disorder, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This is the deterioration. And then there is a distortion. We see distorted views of God. Look at verse number 23, please. Are you still with me? See, the Apostle Paul was ready to preach the gospel because he understood the wrath of God against sin. He could see that a denial of God leads to deterioration. And note then verse number 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. A distorted view of God's glory leads to idolatry. We see idolatry in our day. We see it all around us. People worshipping idols. And even in the first world, people worshipping possessions, people worshipping ability, people worshipping one another. See? Idolatry. This is another form of deterioration that takes place when man denies God. He becomes God. He becomes the object of worship. So we have people today that worship musicians. Well, they're not really musicians, they're whatever you want to call them. Rock artists. Or sports personalities. Or TV personalities. And they worship these people. See? They have a distorted view of God's glory, and they become engrossed in worshipping others as opposed to the God who is worthy of our worship. Look at verse 24, please. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Another mark of deterioration that prevails amongst people that deny the existence of God is that people will follow the lusts, the cravings of the sinful nature from within, and the Bible teaches us they will dishonor their own bodies. They will destroy their own bodies. When man denies God, he will destroy his own body. And we see this in our day more so, do we not? Through immorality, alcohol, drugs, pleasure, smoking, body piercing, tattooing, It's almost an obsession, people with tattoos. May I submit to you, my friend, that God sees it as an abomination to engrave anything upon your skin? Abomination is the strongest word that defines how much God displeases tattooing or body engraving. And we have an absolute epidemic in our day of people painting their bodies. Once upon a time, it used to be the odd individual. Now it's young and old. I was at Campbell's the other week, and there was this woman at the counter, and she had all of this tattooing up and down her arm. I felt sorry for her. This is a denial of God. People will destroy their own body in this body piercing. I saw this woman the other day that had a pin up in here. And I was wondering, how could she possibly get it in there? How does it stay in? Terrible. This is a denial of God. People will destroy their own bodies. People will become idol worshippers. People will think they're smart. They'll major on academics and intelligence. People will be have a countenance of darkness. People will become vain in their imaginations. People will be unthankful, and people will dishonor God. Seven marks of deterioration when there is a denial of God. But listen to me, my friend. Are you listening to me? It doesn't stop there. From denial comes deterioration, then comes depravity. It gets worse. Depravity. Note verses 25 and following. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Beyond deterioration, when man denies God, there will be depravity. Depravity is the next step down for man that deteriorates morally because he denies God. And here in verse 25, man chooses to believe a lie as opposed to believing in God as the Creator. And he becomes that object of worship. Man chooses to believe a lie. For example, the lie of evolution is a mark of the depravity of man. But also note then verse 26 and 27, further depravity that will be evidence when man denies God and man continues to deteriorate because he denies God. Look at verses 26 and 27. There's an attack upon the home via the increase of sodomy. Look at verses 26 and 27, please. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, revolting, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or deserving. Have you heard of AIDS? The depravity of man is the next step from deterioration. It all begins with a denial of God. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready now to preach the gospel. I must preach the gospel because The Apostle Paul understood God's wrath against sin, that when man denies God, there is deterioration. It doesn't stop with dishonoring God. It doesn't stop with an unthankful spirit. It doesn't stop with vain imaginations. It doesn't stop with idolatry. It moves further down the scale to a point of depravity where man chooses to believe a lie, and we see an increase in sodomy within society. For people to live immoral lives in fornication and in adultery with a person of the opposite gender is one thing, but we have a depraved society on our hands when men with men and women with women are seeking to fulfill their lusts of the flesh. And God tells us in verse 27, they have their reward. They have their judgment. My friend, God will judge sin. From denial comes deterioration. From deterioration comes depravity. Sodomy is the evidence of a depraved society. Yes, it is. But you might say, well, Pastor, aren't some people born that way? No. Nobody is born a sodomite. We are born with a sinful nature. All we like sheep have gone astray. And just like the sinful nature will seek to have its flesh satisfied contrary to the principles of God's word, whether it be lying, whether it be stealing, whether it be fornication, or whether it be sodomy, there's no difference. It's a choice. It's a choice. And what does God think about sodomy? Well, let me remind you that Genesis chapter 19 is still in the Bible. It's a mark of a depraved society. It all begins with a denial of God. Oh, but Pastor, there are good people out there that are atheists. Let me tell you, my friend, if a person really chooses to deny God, it will lead to deterioration and it will lead to depravity. Sodomy is a mark of a depraved society. And God has ordained AIDS as His timely reminder that God will not tolerate sin. When society gets to this point where they justify their sin and make statements like, well, so-and-so was born that way. No, we are born with a sinful nature. That's what we're born with. And the sinful nature wants to sin and walk contrary to the Bible. And that's what sodomy is. That's depravity. Oh, but Pastor, things aren't that bad, are they? Well, have a look around. I think the gay Mardi Gras is scheduled very soon. Is it not? Isn't it the first week in March, around there? I'm not planning to go. And neither should you. That's a parade of sin that's depraved before God. Oh, but Pastor, you know, can't a sodomite be a law-abiding citizen? Well, let's read on. Let's read on. Where does sodomy move on to? Well, look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It's almost like God, in His providence, will place a hand of restraint over the extent of sin, but there are times where God will just, and there is a time that God will just take his hands off, so to speak, and just let man go. And all hell will break loose. And when a society accepts depraved behavior like sodomy, note then verse number 29, it goes on to read, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Wickedness, in essence, is in reference to denying God. Openly deny God. Covetousness. Maliciousness. That means to intent to harm people. Whisperers. Gossiping and talebearing. Backbiters. Backstabbers, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, an unwillingness to reason, covenant breakers, people not keeping their, people refusing to keep their vows, for example. Without natural affection. Implacable means revengeful. And also unmerciful. That's a depraved society. And my friend, listen to me carefully. This depraved society was prevalent in the days of the Apostle Paul. Think about that. That's why he said, I'm now ready to preach the gospel. Because the Apostle Paul understood God's wrath against sin. And may I submit to you, in the year 2012, things have not gotten any better. From denial, deterioration. From deterioration, depravity. Sodomy is a mark of depravity in our day. And these sodomites will become, as it reads. So, Pastor, do you believe that all of these characteristics are prevalent amongst a society that's infiltrated by sodomy? Yes, I do. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Somebody say amen. Is that what the Bible teaches? What followed? Sodomy. There it is. Listen, I didn't write this book. It all began with a denial of God. Denial of God leads to deterioration in society. It doesn't stop there. That deterioration leads to believing lies and an acceptance of sins like sodomy. And then from sodomy comes all of these other vile, wicked sins. But look at verse 32. The chapter hasn't ended. Oh, Pastor, please stop. Well, I'm about to stop. At verse 32. Where God stops. Look at verse 32, please. Who knowing the judgment of God, God tells us that man realizes that he is under the sentence of judgment because of his sin. The Bible teaches that. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So from denial comes deterioration. From deterioration morally comes depravity. That depravity leads to people becoming defiant. People openly shaking their fist at God and choosing to continue in their sin. That's society today. Somebody talk to me, please. Have I missed the boat or what? Fair dinkum. Wake up, Australia. Oh, but Pastor, it's all good. No, it's not. I don't like that statement. It's all good, because it's not all good. That's a stupid statement. It's ridiculous. Think about it. It's all good. No, it's not. No, it is not. God's wrath is against sin. God will judge sin. When man denies God, there is deterioration. When there is deterioration, it leads to depravity. And from depravity comes defiance against God. My friend, the judgment of God is coming, and the Apostle Paul understood that, and he said, I am now ready to preach the gospel because these Romans need a Savior, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, because their denial will lead to deterioration. Their deterioration will lead to depravity. Their depravity will lead to their defiant spirit. The pastor's all good. No, it's not. Don't say that. That's ridiculous. It's a stupid statement. Ridiculous statement. May God help us to see as the Apostle Paul could see that people need a Savior. That's why he said, I am now ready. Because the Apostle Paul understood God's wrath. God will judge sin. And my friend, this morning, may God open up our eyes that we might see sin as God sees sin and understand that God's wrath is definite. Yes, judgment is coming. And my friend, you and I have the only message of hope. And it's our charge before Almighty God to go into the highways and byways and warn people that judgment is coming, judgment is coming, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. God will judge sin. You won't get away with it, but there is an answer. It's Jesus Christ. Brother Lewis and I were soul winning yesterday, and as we made our way up to this man's door, abruptly this side door opened, and there's this guy sort of stumbled out with his golf clubs, set them to the side, put them on his fancy little stand, and said to us, what do you want? He said, look, I'm running late. I'm running late. He said, I can't talk. I'm running late. I can't talk. So we kindly just walked off and left, and we said to one another, Brother Lewis and I, one day this man will stand before God. And he'll remember that meeting. And God's going to say to him, you said, I can't talk, I'm running late. I say, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. My friend, we've got a job to do. Do we really believe the Bible? Talk to me. If we do, we'll warn people of God's judgment. Man will not get away with sin. May God help us to be a witness for His glory. Let's bow for prayer.